So this past Friday was the season 3 finale of The Legend of Korra. How many of you guys have been following that show on Nickelodeon? I know a few of you are. But anyways, don't worry, there won't be any spoilers or anything, because I haven't watched the finale myself either. But so I'll talk about something that was earlier in the season. So in the show, it's a cartoon show for those of you who may not know, we were introduced to a boy named Kai. And he had recently gotten his, airbending powers. And he wanted to join Korra, Tenzin, and like the rest of the gang to try to, rebuild the Air Nation. But then lo and behold, they find out from the police that Kai, this little boy, he is homeless, he doesn't have a family. And he had been, basically he's a criminal. He's been pickpocketing people and trying to steal their money. And then he becomes very defensive and he says, no, that's who I was in the past. I'm not gonna do that again, I promise you. I'm not gonna do it again, you can trust me. But then later they find out that, at least like Mako and Bolin, they find out that Kai hasn't changed. In fact, he used his airbending skills to once again go steal and pickpocket people again. And he was caught. And I know that there are a lot of people we encounter in our lives who are like that. No, not airbenders, but those who say that they're sorry for something they have done, but then after a while, you see them that they still do it again and again and again. Let's say that you have a weekly meeting every day, and this person always comes in late, and you just say, I'm so sorry, I got this excuse, that excuse, and I promise it'll never happen again. Then come next week, they're still late again. Or if you're working on a project with someone and you've divided up the work evenly, but then the other person fails to do their part of the project, and you end up having to do the whole thing. And they say, oh, I'm sorry, I had too much work. No, I promise next time I won't do it again. And yet they still do it. And we can be very annoyed, and in fact, very angry by these type of people. Well, in our relationship with God, we actually can be that person. I know that many times we say to God, God, I am so sorry for committing the sin. It was wrong for me to do it. No, next time I promise I won't fall into it again. I won't give in to this temptation. Or next time I see this person, I won't be mean to them. But then we fail, and then we become that person who is unrepentant. We become that person who keeps on committing that sin. Now, although we may be like annoyed or angry at people who are like that to us, but God is not like that. God loves us, He has patience for us, and He gives us grace. And that's because He desires for us to be holy and perfect. Because He has died on the cross for our sins, because we are new creations, we have that capability of repenting and leaving our old life of sin. Matthew 5:48 says, be perfect therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect. So today we're going to be focusing and talking about what does it mean to be convicted of sin? What does it mean to repent? And we're going to be looking into an example and the model of one person's life, and his name is King Josiah, and he's the king of Judah. Now, there are many kings in Israel's history and in Judah's history that have, they have turned away from God. They've turned to idols, they have forsaken God's ways, and yet there are also some who do follow God's way, but then they have some sort of downfall. But this king in particular, King Josiah, you say God was very pleased with him, and he was one of the kings that stood out. So we're going to read an example of him. So if you have your Bibles, please take them out. We're going to turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 22. Second Kings chapter 22, And I listed that we're going to read all the way up to chapter 23, verse 25. And it's a very, very long passage. There's a lot of details in it. But due to the interest of time, we're not going to be reading the whole thing. It's going to take like 10 minutes if we were to read the whole thing through. But we're going to start from verse 1 of chapter 22. This is the word of God. Verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah and Bozkath. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in the way of David, his father, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of King Josiah, the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, son of Meshullam, the secretary, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money that has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the threshold have collected from the people. And let it be given into the hands of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the workmen who are at the house of the Lord, repairing the house, that is, to the carpenters, and to the builders, and to the masons. And let them use it for buying timber and quarried stone to repair the house. But no accounting shall be asked of them for the money that is delivered into their hand, for they deal honestly." Verse 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, "I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan, the secretary, came to the king and reported to the king, "Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hands of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord." Then Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, "Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the priest, and Ilkim, the son of Shaphan, and Achbor, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan, the secretary, Verse 13. "Go inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our father had not obeyed the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us." So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Archbor, and Shaphan, and Asaiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harris, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they talked with her. And she said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants, all the words of the book that the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was penitent, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather to you your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring upon this place. And they brought back the word to the king. Chapter 23, verse 1. Then the king sent all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem were gathered to him. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and with him all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the prophets, all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that has been found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after
the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And all the people joined in the covenant.
Let's skip over to verse 24 of chapter 23. Moreover, Josiah put away the mediums and the necromancers and the household gods and the idols and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might establish the words of the law that were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all his might, according to the law of Moses. Nor did any like him arise after him. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time of worship that we can have. And as we approach your word, Lord, we ask of you to humble us and to open our eyes and our hearts to you, what you have to say to us. And I know in this passage it seems very long. There are a lot of details. There's so much to comprehend. But Lord, because you have given your Holy Spirit within us, I pray that you will use it to speak to us. Give us understanding and how we should apply it to our lives. Father, I pray that you also give me the words to speak as I preach your word. We thank you for this time and lift these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So after reading this passage, I'm going to say that there are going to be three questions that we're going to ask and answer, okay? So for our first question, we're going to ask, how does God convict us of sin? How does God convict us of sin? Then number two, then we're going to ask and answer from this passage, how should we respond to the conviction from God? How should we respond to the conviction from God? And finally, number three, we'll then ask and answer, what does it mean to truly repent? What does it mean to truly repent? Okay, one more time. Number one, how does God convict us of sin? Number two, how should we respond to conviction from God? And then number three, what does it mean to truly repent? So in this passage, once again, we're talking about King Josiah. He was 8 years old when he first started reigning in the kingdom of Judah, and which is a little bit unusual, but like his father was assassinated, so he had to take the throne at that time. But in his 18th year, so he was 26 at that time, he said to his secretary, "Shaphan, my secretary, I want to repair the temple of the Lord. Go ask Hilkiah the priest to get the money that's from the house of the Lord and then give it to these workmen so they can make these repairs." And while Hilkiah the priest was around in the house of the Lord, he finds this book. And this book is the book of the law. In other words, it's the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Old Testament: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And at this time, there weren't many copies of or manuscripts of this book of the law. And I guess it could have been forgotten, just been kept in a corner of the house of the Lord. But nonetheless, they found it. Hilkiah gave it to Shaphan. And then Shaphan brought it to King Josiah and said, "Hey, King Josiah, Hilkiah the priest found this book." And then King Josiah is probably like, "Ooh, I like stories. Read me this story, or read me this book that you have found." So I guess that Shaphan the secretary read from the beginning of Genesis, probably I think all the way to Deuteronomy, which is kind of amazing. I don't know if we'll can be able to, in one setting, read that many books. Well, maybe you guys can. And then King Josiah was convicted of not only his sin, but also the sins of the whole nation, because they have turned away from what God has been saying in his word. Read from the middle of verse 13. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us. Let us answer question number one. How does God convict us of sin? God convicts us of sin through His divine revelation. Through His divine revelation. And in this case, it came from reading the Word of God. This book that we have here, the Bible, is the very words of God. And many of you are familiar with 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that it is words breathed out by God useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training us in righteousness. So what is our attitude when we come to reading God's Word? You know, maybe you hear people say that it's so important to have a relationship with God and to read the Bible. But if you just come to the Bible just reading it for just head knowledge, it doesn't mean anything. You have to ask God, how are you speaking to me as I read your text? How does it apply to me? What are you trying to convict me of? And that's what happened to King Josiah. Here he is hearing the word of God for the first time, and he is already feeling convicted. He's the leader of this nation, and his people, for many, many years, have turned away from God. And you can imagine how he have felt. So that's one way that God gives us divine revelation, through his word. And another way is through prophets. And we see many of those instances in this text. Next, King Josiah, he had turned to a prophetess who then spoke to him delivered the message what God wanted to respond to him. So that's another way how God reveals has divine revelation to us. But nowadays, the chances of meeting a prophet is very small. But at the same time, we have pastors and we have people who teach us God's word. So when we come to church on Sunday, and we go to Sunday school, or when we come sit here, we think that it's just something that we just do every Sunday, and we just hear God's word, and, oh no, Ivan's preaching again, he's so boring. Whoever is preaching, it doesn't matter, whether it's me, Mr. Woodrow, Pastor Shaw, or anyone who's teaching God's word. If we come and approach and just wish to be entertained or wish to get something interesting, that's not the right attitude that we have. Because God is using whoever's speaking, whoever's teaching God's word, to speak a revelation to you, to reveal something to you. And that includes convicting us of sin. So I ask of us, what is our attitude when we approach the word of God, whether in our own studies or whether we're coming to church? Do we come awaiting for God to teach us? Do we come awaiting for God to reveal to us? And I think most importantly, divine revelation also comes through the Holy Spirit that's in our hearts. How is the Holy Spirit speaking to us? And we can see here that the Holy Spirit is definitely working in King Josiah's heart as he's being convicted of sin. So now let's continue on. How does King Josiah react, or how does he respond when he is hearing of God's word? Let us read verse 11. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Well, it seems kind of a strange action. In our day, in our culture today, if we see someone tearing their clothes, we either think they're very angry, or they're trying to show how strong that they are, or maybe they're just very crazy and influenced by some drugs, or they think that they're the Incredible Hulk. But that's not the case here. When King Josiah tears his clothes, and many other people in the Bible do that too, whenever we read about that, yes, it can mean that they are angry and such, but usually it represents mourning and sorrow. And in many cases, especially for this one, it is also a symbol of sincere humility and sincere repentance. In other cases, you might read someone wearing like sackcloth and covering themselves with dust. Also another weird action. And you don't necessarily see people doing that today, but it's the same thing. There's a symbol there that represents sincere repentance and sincere humility. And for a king, you know, it's also very humbling for him to be able to ask for help. Verse 13, he says, "Go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah." So he's asking for help. He's asking for help from God. He's asking for this prophetess to speak God's word to him. So that is humbling in itself. So question number two. How should we respond to conviction from God? We should tear our clothes, wear sackcloth, and cover ourselves with dust. Yes, William agrees. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, you guys can do that, but what's more important is in the heart. So how should we respond to conviction from God? With humbleness and repentance. With humbleness and repentance. See, God acknowledges and he sees how we respond when he convicts us of sin or anything when we approach his word. Now the question is, how do you guys respond? And I know many of the sermons that we have preached in the past couple of weeks and even recently have called for us to repent of something. Let's take last week, for example. Our message last week focused on doing everything for the glory of God and not doing anything that would cause for, I guess, like the falling of another brother or sister in Christ. So you were concerned about their spiritual welfare. And I've heard from, like, I think the girls' small group especially, that there came an application or a conviction of how you girls dress. So if God has been speaking to you and saying, maybe the way you dress, you have to consider whether it might cause other brothers or other men in particular to sin or lust, then if God is convicting you of the way that you're dressing, how do you respond to that? Are you going to be prideful and say, like, I can just wear whatever I want, or no, I think I'm fine? Or are you going to be humble, recognize that something that you're doing is wrong before God, and you're willing to change or repent? And guys, you're not off the hook either. Let's say that you're reading in the Bible, and God speaks to you and says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the temple of God, and we're supposed to take care of it. And that's in the context of sexual immorality, sexual sins. And if you read that, and you've been convicted of how you've been lusting, or how you struggle with pornography, or any type of sexual temptation, if God is speaking to you that way, how do you respond? Once again, do you respond by just being prideful? Or are you willing to be humble, accept what God is trying to say to you, and be willing to repent? And I think like there are other responses too. Some of us may be just indifferent and not care. Or even worse, we hear God's word, we understand completely, and we're convicted, but then we still choose not to do anything about it. So that's our question. Whether we're reading God's word, whether you're hearing from someone's preacher, someone's teaching from the Bible, and you're convicted, are you willing to repent? Are you willing to respond in the right way? So what does it mean to repent then? If that's supposed to be the response that we're supposed to take. And let's see what King Josiah does. So once again, he's been convicted of leading his people in the wrong direction. He's noticed his people has been turning to other idols. How does he respond? How does he repent? Let's read chapter 23, starting from verse 1. Then the king sent, and all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem were gathered to him. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and with him all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the prophets, all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, the one that they found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people joined in the covenant. The king led his people into repentance. The king led his people into this covenant before God. And what is this covenant? To obey God's command, to love him with all of his heart, soul, and might. And to have this covenant means, it's part of being repentant, meaning that we need to have a change in heart. Now, I'll explain more of that later. And then we'll see what else King Josiah does. So the part that we didn't read due to time, from verses 4 all the way to 24. So these 20 verses all describe what King Josiah did. So I've listed some of the things that he did, but they aren't extensive to everything that was documented here. So you see that he removed the vessels that were made for other idols, such as Baal and Asherah. And he removed those priests who were serving those idols. He got rid of male cult prostitutes. He got rid of those high places of worship in which the pagans worshipped, and they weren't worshiping the true God. He removed this place that's called Topheth, which is a place where some pagans sacrificed their own children to Moloch. He removed horse statues that were dedicated to the sun. He removed shrines. So this is a picture here. Once this kingdom, the whole nation, was going in this direction, and that's whatever direction that is, it's not towards God. They're serving these idols, they're serving and doing all these practices. But to repent means to turn, to do a 180 turn, start heading back in the other direction, or the direction that is in the right way, which is towards God. So it requires action. Now, in our situations, once again, let's say that we've been convicted by God for a particular sin. When we repent, are we willing to turn 180 degrees and head in the right direction? Are we willing to remove those things that will cause us to sin, or that may tempt us, or it may, whatever that removal is, maybe something physical, or maybe that's something that's in your heart, maybe it's pride, something that you have to remove. Just like what King Josiah was doing when he was removing all these idols. So true repentance is not just being willing to say that you're willing to repent. It also requires that you take action, that you turn away, and it also requires that you have a change in your heart. I mean, someone could turn and do all these actions on the outward, but in their heart, nothing changed about them. If that's the case, if there's no covenant before God, if there's no change in the heart, then chances are they haven't really repented and they would go back to doing what they had promised that they wouldn't do. Question number 3. What does it mean to truly repent? To have a change in heart and turn away from sin. To have a change in heart and turn away from sin. And I'll close with this very short story to help us remember that concept. So there was once this church, and they needed someone to paint the outside, because like, I guess the paint was peeling off. So they hired a painter. And this painter, he's not a believer, he's never been to church, but he was willing to take the job, and the church paid him money to do so. Now, he's trying to find a way to earn more money. Because, you know, when you're trying to paint a big building, you need a certain number of cans. But what some people do is something that's called thinning the paint. Thinning, meaning that you put water and mix it in with the paint so that it becomes a little bit more watery, but it can cover a lot more surface area. So as a result, he doesn't have to buy as much paint, and he can be able to get a lot more money out from the church. So he put some water in the paint, and he started painting the outside of the church. It was almost done. Let's say that he's working on the roof now. And then all of a sudden, there's a big thunderstorm that came, and it started raining and washing away all the paint. And then the painter realized that God was judging him. And he said, "God, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have cheated the church. I shouldn't have been putting water into paint and thinning it. Please forgive me. I promise I won't do it again. I'll do a better job next time." And then a loud voice from the heavens called out saying, "Repaint, repaint and thin no more." What does it mean to truly repent? To have a change in heart and turn away from sin. So my friends, brothers and sisters, how are we to respond when God speaks to us? Can we respond in the right way? Do we have the desire to please Him in all that we do? Of course, God desires for us to be holy and perfect because He died for us, and we have the capability of doing so. So let us review, like, once again, from this passage, what we've learned and from seeing the example of King Josiah. And it's worth mentioning, once again, let's read verse 25. King Josiah, "Before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him." So he's one of the greatest kings whom God was pleased with. And this was referencing Deuteronomy 6:5, which says, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Okay, let's review. So question one, how does God convict us of sin? And He does that through His divine revelation, whether it's through God's word, through a prophet, through a pastor, or anyone teaching it, or the Holy Spirit speaking to our heart. Number two, how should we respond to conviction from God? With humbleness and repentance. And finally, number three, what does it mean to truly repent? To have a change in heart and turn away from sin. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your great love and Your great mercy that You always show to us. And we know that we don't deserve it, Lord. According to Your law, according to Your standards, even if we sin once, that's enough to pull us, to turn us away from You. Because You are a holy God. But yet You love us, and that's why You have given us this chance. That's why You have sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, so that we can be seen as pure and holy. And that's why You desire for us to continue to look towards You, to continue to rely on You and humble ourselves, and continue to go through this process of sanctification. Father, I pray that You teach us to repent. Change our attitudes. Whenever we read from Your word, or whenever we go to church and listen to someone preach. Father, we humble ourselves before You. Show us in our hearts where we need to change. because we desire to please and honor you and glorify you in everything that we do. And thank you for this time. And we want to lift up all these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.